You're listening to a podcast from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
Good morning. Hey, guys. How are we doing this morning? What? There's some people like more excited than others here this morning, so let's do it again. Good morning. Yes, okay. Live stream, what is up? What's up, Metro? Let's make some noise for Metro. Can we do that? We got, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Hey, I'm glad you're here. This is the summer, and it's the beginning, actually. It's like we're going into the fall. You guys know, right? The fall is coming. It's happening. And so we're starting a brand new conversation about that. So it's a really great time for you guys to be here. I know we've got people traveling as well, and then we've got friends, families. In fact, we've got someone special really here, Laura. Laura, where are you? Are you here? Where are you, Laura? They're right there. Her and her husband are here. Can we just, before we make some noise for them. So she helped start Mosaic. Almost 12 years ago, she was one of the young adults who helped start Mosaic, and she lives with her husband right now in D.C., so they're here visiting. Can we just, yes. It's awesome. Awesome. If you guys don't know who she is and you don't care, you should. You should just care. You should. But we're starting a brand new conversation. In fact, our youth just came back from camp. Did you guys know anything about our youth? Anybody know anything about our youth? No? Okay, well, it's happening this Sunday. They're meeting this Sunday, starting a new series called Customize Your Soul. And what it's a play on words. Apparently, they're customizing shoes, which I'm going to that. That's why I'm going to that. So excited. If you have a teenager, be here tonight, the Sunday at 6 o'clock. It's going to be great. Okay, so I found this thing right here. I want to show it to you. I'm really pretty excited about this thing. So this is called, do you guys know what this is called? If you guys can't see me, it's a tool belt. Yes, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yes, it's a tool belt. And I just love the idea of wearing a tool belt. You know what I'm saying? I think. This is how you do it, right? Now, the question is, I just love, when I first put it on, I was like, I feel like a cowboy. I don't know why, because my background, I grew up in Kuwait, in Pakistani, I have no reference of that. But anyways, I just feel like I need to have guns. I don't know. But how do you wear this? Because I was like, how do you, you turn it. Thank you, sir. Yeah, so I'm gonna, like this? Nice, I like this. It's cool, isn't it? Now, obviously, for those of you who don't know me, I'm you thinking, oh, this is cool. You're a pretty handy guy. This is okay. Well, you all know me apparently, so not a handy guy. So I customized this myself. I got some lotion. I got some shea butter here because I get chappy sometimes. Obviously, hey, anybody want a breath mint situation? You know you want one. You just said hello to them, and you're like, oh, my gosh. Anyways, I'll have some. Oh, and this. I got some Eternity for Men. So it's good. This is how I would use a tool belt, honestly, just to have stuff. I think I'm going to start using it for sermons every Sunday because I got everything in here. I can just put my phone here and then just kind of talk. Right, what do you guys think? You guys like it? You guys like it? No, you don't like it. You're like, shut up, this is ridiculous. Yeah, I know this is ridiculous because I just like the idea of building stuff. How many of you know people who love the idea of like building stuff, but they can't? Okay, see, some of you are not raising your hand because you are that. You are that person. You are that. How do I get rid of this thing? Obviously, I have never used this, so. Yes, really, I have never used this. I have never, ever used this. I don't know. It's brand new, too. I got to take it back. don't tell anybody I'm going to do that. No, because why would I ever do that? Because you have never used something once and taken it back. It's only me, pagan heathens, born in Pakistan that do that. Correction, I wasn't born in Pakistan. You just laughed at nothing. Okay. Yeah, I'll just put this back right here. This is good. I love the idea of building. So why did I do this? Because I want you to remember this idea of this this picture. Some of you guys actually took pictures of it. That's great. But I want you to think about where you are in life, and could it be possible that God wants to say something in particular to you this morning, and it's just one word, and the word is build. Build, build, build. So we start a series called Home, and what we're trying to do, I'll just let you know, this in the fall, especially in August, people are going to come back. You know, about 20% of people just are always gone in the weekends, but then more people come back, and then in August, September, people try to find a church, and they try to kind of get engaged back into, you know, basically not real life, but just the routine of life. And so people are looking for community. There are people who are moving this summer, and they move into Charlotte. Charlotte is a very transient city, and people are always moving and trying to build something here. Now, the reason why we're calling the series Home is because I think there's an idea out there that we all want a place, or we want to find a place called home. Some of you have told me personally that Mosaic is your home. You know when things feel like home. There's something about that, isn't it? And so this series is really about talking and speaking into that big idea of finding home. Could it be possible that maybe God's saying, I don't want you to live your life trying to always find home. I need you to live your life building home. Like instead of just, trying to find it, you actually begin to create a place called home. Because most of us want to belong. We want to come in and we really just want to feel a part of something that's bigger. And so what we end up doing is we live our lives trying to always fit in. Have you ever tried to fit in before? Like, and then there are some churches you walk into, you're like, I don't fit in. We do not fit in. You go, honey, this is the last time. Like, this is not happening, right? And then sometimes you walk in, you go, I just really fit in. So I know we love the idea of being a part of something, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't be a part of something and try to find some a community, a cause, but there's something more to you and what God is telling you to do in your life, and there's something more to even us collectively, that instead of trying to fit into maybe how churches should be or fit into how a group should be, maybe, just maybe, God's saying, I want you to create a place that you belong to, not just fit in. I want you to create community. I want you to create home versus find home. Because if you just keep looking around for home, you're going to always keep on what? Looking around. And if you're looking around for the life that you want, you're always going to be what? Just looking around. And today, God wants you to say, well, God wants you to know, you need to actually start building where you are. And as silly as it is, I mean, I can't build anything. I mean, really, I really can't. It's too complicated, especially with construction stuff and all that. And I mean, even simple stuff, honestly, just simple stuff. It's too complicated for me. But I do know how to build home. I don't know how to build a house, but I do know how to build home. Because I left my childhood, left everything in the 90s, came here, left, in one sense, home where I grew up, and came here and built home. And I'm actually hoping that this becomes a church home as well for so many people. So I think there's something to the possibility that even God could use you, because he's used me, to create the community, to create belonging, to create home, to create a place that you could be a part of. Not spend your whole life looking for it. And the reason why I want you to be reminded of that now is because I think, like always in August, my mind works like, okay, it's about halfway till the end of the year. Like, that's why I think. I'm like, okay, it's the end of the year. Okay, what are the things that I said I was going to do this year? Then you go back and you go, okay, I've far surpassed them or not. What have I done? I mean, this is a great time to go, hey, what am I doing here? For some of you, the year started off pretty rough. I know for me, it did pretty terribly, because I had a death in the family. And it was the second death. I mean, last year, my dad died. And this year, my brother-in-law died. And it was devastating. And I mean, I haven't talked about it a whole lot, honestly, just because it's just so complicated. I'm still kind of going through it. We're all going through it. But still, I started off the year with, like, these are the goals, and I've come to August, and I thought, hey, am I stuck? Am I stuck? Are you stuck? Are you unsettled? Are you in a place where you're like, I just stopped doing some things? Well, maybe you need to, what's the word? Build. Maybe you need to start building something right now. Could it be possible that that's the one thought that God wants you to leave with? And Metro, I mean, I think of Metro Campus, and I think of so many people who are so transient, and I think it's a place where you come in and you try to build something, but you go, oh, this is not going to be my home. And then you have stayed there for 10 years. You're like, okay, finally, I got to admit. Some of us haven't even changed our license. You're like, no, this is not home for me. It's not home for me. What's causing you not to build? What's causing you to just stop? What's causing you to just kind of maybe even coast in life or just kind of let life happen? So this morning, I want us to have a conversation. I want to go to the Old Testament. So if you got your Bibles, if you got a phone, we're going to spend most of the time in Jeremiah 29, or not necessarily 29, but yeah, most of it. But in Jeremiah, now Jeremiah is one of the prophets. This is in the Old Testament. And by the way, let me just make a commercial here. If you don't own a paperback Bible, you should get one. You should just get one. I know that in Mosaic, there are so many people who are just restarting their faith, and you're finding your faith as an adult, and you don't have a Bible. And I'm all for using electronic digital Bibles. I mean, do it all the time. I live off of that. But there's something about owning your own or having a particular one in this season. And maybe, just maybe, God is saying, hey, I want you to just kind of have a physical copy. I want you to kind of dig into it a little bit. So, just a plug. If you don't have one, get one. NLT, New Living Translation, is the one I use a lot. So if you see verses on the screens and you're like, what are these letters? What's going on here? There's one called MSG. Is that like a thing? Like, gives you what? Makes you bloated? What does that mean? No, it's the Message Translation. So there's so many different kinds, but I use the NLT. All right? Okay, that's my plug for that. So let me read you a couple of passages from Jeremiah 29. Let me read you one that's really popular. You probably have seen this. You've heard this before. It's Jeremiah 29:11. Some of you might even have it. Others of you might have had it tattooed somewhere. I don't even know. Okay? But have you heard this one before? Let me read it for you. For I, what? Let's read it together. Let's do it. All campuses, if you're online, stop. Get off the treadmill. Read this, okay? Don't want you to fall. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. We love this passage. Love it. You've quoted this every time you're in a bad mood or things doesn't work out right or someone ticks you off or things don't really pan out the way they were supposed to. You go, yes, yes, yes. But God has plans for me, plans to give me a hope and a future. He did not plans to harm you. People have told this to you, and it's really a great, encouraging passage. The problem is the context around this passage. The context around this passage is not so amazing. Not so amazing. Because it's actually a part of a letter that Jeremiah, this prophet, is writing to people who've been exiled. And they've been exiled because quick history lesson here. So you had Jewish people, and they wanted a king, and they got King Saul. If you guys remember King Saul, anybody remember King Saul? After that was who? Anybody remember that? David. Yes, David. It was David. After that, it was his kids, and yeah, I know. But then it just went crazy. It went crazy. In fact, it split the kingdom. There was now a southern kingdom and a northern kingdom. I mean, it was just nutty, and because of that, there were other nations or ethnic groups that were coming in and occupying them and taking them over. And so, in fact, historically, I mean, you had so many empires taking over or conquering the Jewish people. You had the Assyrians, Babylonians, Persians, Greeks, and then Romans. That's when Jesus showed up. So throughout history, they've been occupied. So Jeremiah lives around the Babylonian Empire. And basically, Babylon is actually a city in modern-day Iraq. And so what had happened is that you had Nebuchadnezzar, this king, come in this period of time in history and conquer them and then take people out of their homeland, and they were exiled into Iraq. It was the craziest thing. Now, the first time I read this historically, I thought, I know this happened like, you know, about 500 or 587 AD or something like that, BC, sorry. But I was like, this is so real to me because Iraq, modern-day Iraq, invaded Kuwait when I was there and began to exile people from Kuwait into Iraq. Now, those of you who might not know this, I actually have pictures. So my home, right before I got here, looked like this. I got a couple of pictures for you, okay? So this is the Iraqi army just coming in, and then you had Americans come in, and this is my one of my streets, and so this was like normal every day for a long time when Kuwait was occupied. I got another picture for you. This is what it kind of looked like, the devastation that I lived in for a year and survived, and there's a lot of stories to that. They've actually cleaned it up a little bit, and Kuwait looks pretty nice. In the next picture, it looks like it's actually somewhere in the future, right? This is an actual picture of Kuwait. I want to go there, right? It's awesome, the Kuwait Towers. But what's really amazing about this passage, though, is I understand this idea of being taken from your place of comfort and rest and home and being exiled into a place. And so I've always said, like, I'm a stranger in a strange land. I feel like I've always been, like, trying to fit in, and at some point I just stopped and I thought, you know what, I'm going to actually create the place I want to be in. I'm going to create the community that I want. And that's why Mosaic was started. If you're wondering why does Mosaic look like this and why is it like this, it's because I wanted a diverse group of people to come together, to live by faith, to be known by love, to be a voice of hope. And I thought, I'm not going to find it, so might as well just build it. So think about this, though. Think about the idea of being ripped out of a place called home and being exiled to a different place. What do you think God would want to say to you? What do you want him to say to you? See, some of you, I think that if you're honest, you're in that place. Because if you think of home, you think of a place of peace, of satisfaction, of rest, right? You think of comfort. What comes to mind when you think of home? Anybody think of like a certain smell? Just a smell. You're like, it stunk back home. No. It just, yeah. Anybody think of food, any particular food when you think of home, right? You got food. What about people? People. There's so many things that give us rest and comfort, but home is hard to explain. Home is hard to explain because for some of us, where you are in life, you don't feel at home. Like, you're not okay with where you are, and you're just restless. You're just thinking, I don't know why I got here. I don't know how I got here. I don't like where I am in life. And some of it might be just full on just your career. You just do not like where you are when it comes to your career. It's not home for you. Others of you, your career, you're like, this is it. I found it. Please don't fire me. You know, this is it. Others of you, you're like, you know what? I created my own business. Forget that. I'm doing this. You're good when it comes to career. But when it comes to your relationships, you're not at rest. You're not home. You're not in that spot, that safe space. What do you do? What do you do? What do you do when you find yourself like, I'm just not, I mean, other things are okay, but this particular thing is not. Where? What do you think God is saying to you? What do you want him to say? I know what you want him to say. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Give you hope, future. Just hang in there, buddy. It's going to happen. It's coming. That's what you want, right? So you would think that this prophet would say that to these people who literally have their lives devastated. And so this is the letter. Let's just read this in context. We'll get to that particular verse, but let's just read this. This is verse 4, and it starts off like this. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to the captives he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. Okay, first of all, He did it. He did this. Okay, number one, I got a problem with that. Right? Okay. Okay, what do you want us to do? What do you want us to do? Tell me. I'm waiting. And he starts off, verse 5. What does he say? I can't hear you. What do you say? Metro, what do you say? Build homes. And what? Shut up. Right? This is where like, no. If someone came to you and told you in a very dark time, hey, listen, it's going to be a while. You're like, I don't want to hear that. What do I want to hear? Plans to hope and future. Don't tell me to pack a lunch. Don't tell me this is going to take forever. He says, build homes, plan to stay, plant gardens. You want me to do what? You want me to plant a garden? You know how long a garden takes? Like, what are we talking about? What are we doing? Like, this is what? What do we plant? You want me to plant gardens? Eat the food they produce. How long are we thinking we're going to be here? Have you ever grown avocados? Take forever. Marry and have children. Really? You want me to marry and have children? Hey, by the way, Jeremiah, I had kids. Yeah, they were killed. Yeah. I had my family ripped from me, so I don't. You just, yeah, whatever, man. Then find spouses for them. Oh. You're going there. You mean to have kids, wait till they grow up, then you want me to find spouses for them. That, what do you want me to do? Have grandchildren, multiply, do not dwindle away, and then, and verse 7 is what? And what? What's that word? And work for the peace and the prosperity of what? What city are we talking about? Not my city. No, Babylon, where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for this is the crazy thing. For its welfare will determine what? I do not want to hear this. Do not want to hear this. Here's why. Because what we usually do is this. When things happen to us that we don't plan on, we don't like, we dwell on it, we figure out how could we have avoided this. We try to just figure out what just happened. And so we end up living a life that's basically dwelling on the past. And then we just try to figure out what is going on with, just question the present. You're like, I don't know. You're spinning around. You're like, I don't even know what is real anymore. And then you're trying to figure out your future. You're trying to figure out what's going to happen. You don't even know what happens. And it's normal, right? We react to the past, right? Because of what has happened to us. That's why there's a certain amount of us that we just don't trust people because we've been hurt. Our heart's been broken. We react to the past. We maintain our present. We just kind of like, okay, let's just calm everything down, and then we want to stabilize everything. And so as you're stabilizing everything, by the way, what are you doing? You're basically fearing the future. You're scared of everything that's new. And that's normal when you go through something like this. But what God is basically saying is, I want you to reconcile the past. I want you to reconcile the past. I want you to like engage fully, be aware of your present, and I want you to build or create the future. Like, that's basically what he's saying. He's saying, I want you to understand something. This is happening to you. There's something that's happening to you, but some of us don't admit it. It's really happening to you. Like, this really is happening to you. And you're like, no, but it's going to change. I get it. I'm all for that. But can I just tell you, it is actually happening to you. And at some point, you have to go, this is it. This is it. And God's saying, I love you guys, and let me just tell you, I'm still in control. That's why I said I exiled you. I love you, but I just want you to know that the things that are not working out right now, I want you to understand they're not working out, and they might not work out for a while. Now, because I don't want to continue this letter, because we're already all depressed, how many? Right? I'm not even going to keep on telling you what he said afterwards. We'll just stop right here. But what is God saying? Why does he do this? Because at some point, God wants us to know that there is a reality that we, you and I have to face, that life actually is not good at times. It's just not. Like, I love the t-shirts, life is good. Have you seen those? I want to burn them. It's not. Sometimes it's not. You know what I'm saying? On a good day when you're eating ice cream, it's great. But it's not. Life's not good all the time. It's not. And because life's not good sometimes, you just think God's not good. And I get it. But there's something about understanding, yeah, in the midst of life not being good or fair or just, God is not those things. And God is good. And there is something happening. There is something God wants you to do. So what does he want you to do? What's the word? What's the one word? What's the one word? Build. Build. What's the one word, Metro? Build. Live stream. Build. 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 Are you going to build anything? Or are you not going to build? That's the question. That is really the question. I was hanging out with Asher recently. We went to the mall and we did some other things this weekend. And this has been really great. He's actually in driver's ed, right? It's like the craziest thing, right? And I'm looking at my wife, those of you who don't know, and she's like, what happened? What happened? We turned around and he's like 14 and a half. Like, what do we do? We should have left him in the closet for so long. But anyways, no, we did not. I love the fact that he wants to drive. He really wants to drive. And he's 14 and a half. He's already taking classes. He wants to drive. I have a friend, pastor friend of mine, and we were talking about, like, you know, what do we do with kids and cars and da-da-da. And his son is, like, 19. And I was like, yeah, so when did you get him a car? And he was like, he still doesn't have a car. I was like, what? Oh, he just drives your car? He said, no, he doesn't drive. I'm like, what? He doesn't drive? He's like, yeah, he doesn't want to drive. He doesn't want to drive. I don't even know someone who doesn't want to drive. Well, I do know someone who doesn't want to drive. If she was rich enough, my wife would never drive ever. Ever. She would just never drive. Now, she would not pay me to drive her because she has found Jesus many times and lost him. She has lost Jesus and found him while driving with me, riding with me. It's funny because I have to drive, or not I have to drive, but I really like to drive. Maybe it's because I like to be in control. How many of you like to be in control? Anybody? Anybody like to drive and be in control? And let's just raise your hand. Raise your hand. Proud, proud, proud. All of you guys need to just get with the program right here. Okay, face it. This is happening. I love that. So it's funny because I was reading this concept by Julian Roeder. He, in the 1960s, he developed this theory called the locus of control. You've probably heard this before. And he basically says that there's a premise that some people think that their lives are more influenced by external factors. And he calls them, kind of in one sense, they're passengers in life. Okay? And that's kind of the locus of control. That's what they believe. While others believe that their lives are actually influenced by internal factors, they're drivers. As a result, he claims that you can either operate in an internal locus of control or an external locus of control. Did you get that? So basically, there are some people who goes, life just happens, and I'm the passenger to life. And others are going, no, I'm actually the driver, and I have control, locus of control. What's interesting about the scriptures, though, you find the tension between those two. You find tension that God's really in control, but then you're in charge. It's the weirdest thing. Or sometimes it flips. It feels like it flips, like where God's in charge and you're in control. I don't know. But there's some tension that goes on. There's always an opportunity that God gives you, and then you have to step into it. So for example, let me read you this passage in Hebrews. Hebrews is a letter that was written by another guy, and he's talking about an Old Testament character. So he's talking about Abraham. And you guys remember Father Abraham, right? Had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham, and you are one of them, and So am I? Is that how it goes? I don't know. I didn't grow up here. You guys should know this. Well, maybe some of you should. So here's what it says in chapter 11, verse 8. It says, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave what? Home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. And then he says this, he went without knowing where he was going. How many of us would go and leave and just follow without knowing where we're going? It's really profound to see this concept played so many times in Scripture, where God says, I have an opportunity for you, but I need you to leave home. Like, I want you to leave home to actually create home. Are you willing to leave where you are? See, for some of you, you don't want to be settled where you are in this season of life. You're like, this is driving me crazy. I know people who are tormented because they are single. Tormented. It's depressing them. It's getting them in a very dark place. Some of you might know people like that. And you need to share this message with them. They're in a very dark place. Very dark place. And it's messing up everything. It's, in fact, their season of life of singleness is affecting their whole theology of who God is. And it's affecting their identity and their value and self-worth. It's messing them up. Others don't mind it. But then you have some that are just, it's consuming them. It's messing them up. And see, God's saying here, I know where you are. I get it. You're in a place and you feel like a stranger in a strange land. You feel like you've been exiled. You feel like you're left there. You feel like you've been, this is not home. I get it. So I want you to leave. I want you to build, though, wherever you are. I want you to build. Others of you, you are home. You are home. You're satisfied fully. But God's saying, I want you to leave home. Either way, I want you to build something. I want you to move forward. I'm going to give you an opportunity to actually do something. And so regardless where you are in those two categories, I think the idea of actually just facing where you are and then stepping out of it and kind of looking at where you are and what you need to do now is the most important thing. The only way to build something new, to build and create a place of belonging or a community that you want to be belonged to, or create a family, if you want to build home, is you have to know where you are, what you're looking at, and then actually step out of it and begin to build something. And so this morning, I want you to just build. I don't know what it is, but you need to start thinking, what am I building? What am I building? What am I building? Or am I just trying to look for something? If you're as a single adult, you're trying to just look and look and find and find and find. And maybe you just need to stop and just build who you are, because this season seems to be tearing you apart. So you have to build. And I don't know what it is on your end, but you have to build. We all of us have to kind of build. And it's hard to build when you've done the same thing again and again and again and again and again. And that's why I love this passage, because it reminds us we actually have to leave home to build home. We actually have to leave. And it makes so much sense, because people have said, or experts say, that the art of unlearning something is actually harder than learning. You probably have heard this before. And in fact, I love what Mark Bonecheck writes. He's the founder of Shift Thinking, and I think he explains it really well in Harvard Business Review. He says this. He talks about unlearning. He says, unlearning is not about forgetting. It's not about forgetting. It's the ability to choose an alternative mental model or paradigm. He says this. He says, when we learn, we add new skills or knowledge to what we already know. When we unlearn, we step outside the mental model in order to choose a different one. You actually have to step outside. Stepping outside is leaving what you think is normal and home and what it should be. So here's a couple of things that I think you and I have to unlearn or move away from or step outside or leave. Here's a couple of things. Number one, we have to leave expectations to get into opportunities. You have to leave the expectations. The question of this is, this idea of like, this is not how it's supposed to go down. This was not supposed to happen to me. This was not supposed to happen to me. Some of us are just stuck there. I get it. It was not supposed to happen to you. Yeah. And I don't think God's saying, no, it's supposed to happen to you. I think sometimes God just comes alongside of us and says, it was not supposed to happen to you. I never intended this to happen. But this is life. And you have to move and leave that expectations that you have, because some of us are still holding on. And because you're holding on to expectations, you are not doing what? You're not building. You're not building, and you know it. You know it. You're just stuck. And you're like, I don't know why I'm stuck. Because you're not building. Because you go back to like, but it was not supposed to. It was not supposed to happen. It wasn't supposed to go down like this. This is not supposed to happen. This shouldn't happen to me. Why is it happening to me? How many of you have ever thought that? Come on. Why is it happening to me? I get it. But you have to leave those expectations, those unfilled expectations, those unrealized, unmet ideas, those timelines, those goals, those whatever, those outcomes. And you have to leave those to actually look for opportunity, because God gives you opportunities. There's no way you can see opportunities unless you leave home. You find them on the other side of home, on the other side of expectations. Number two, you have to leave disappointment to get to hope. You have to leave disappointment. What does that mean? Why did it happen to me? Like, why did I do this? Like, why did I do this? Why did I do this? How many of you have ever had a moment of why did I do this? Anybody? Why did I do this? Have you had like really dark, deep inner thoughts? Like you've really said some horrible things about yourself. Anybody? You can't live in that. I think for some of us, we're most disappointed at ourselves. Not people, not God. Ourselves. You have to leave it. You have to leave it. If you don't leave regret and a little bit of like grief and sadness and anger and offense and hurts, if you don't leave all those, you're never going to go to hope. You're never going to go to hope. And the problem is, if you don't have hope, you can't really get faith to work for you. Because it's just they're connected to each other. They're just connected to each other. You don't want to move forward because you don't see anything. You have to leave disappointment. Next, you have to leave, this is a hard one, you have to leave certainty to get to clarity. You have to leave. You have to leave the question of, can I be sure this is going to work out? Can I be sure? Can I be sure? How can I be sure? Is this going to work? Can I be sure? Can I be sure? Can I be sure? Can we be sure? Can I do this? I don't know. Should I engage in this? I don't know. Should I? You have to leave certainty to get to clarity. And what does that mean? That means is like with God, it's never, ever certain. But God can be very clear. Like God can say, I'm going to be with you. Loud and clear, I'm telling you. But you're going to be scared to death. Why? Because things are going to get crazy. But you're going to be with me. Yes. In the background. So far away that you can't even feel me. That's wonderful, Jesus. Love you. Have you read the scriptures? It's always like, I'm with you. I'm with you. By the way, be courageous, okay? Don't fear, okay? Don't be afraid, okay? Why are you doing this? Seems like you're not going to show up. No, I'm here. Just so you know, you might pee in your pants. It's going to be that scary. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Yeah, I'm very clear about it. But you get no, it's going to work out promises. There's always, because the problem is this, we as humans, we really want to hold answers without doubt. Like, we want answers without doubt. Did you know that? It doesn't work. We want a joy without suffering. It doesn't work. You're going to get clarity and uncertainty. You hold both of it. Just like you. There's a part of you that's super ungodly. Come on. We talked about this last week. And there's a part of you that's so holy. And when God holds you, he holds both. That's just life. And some of you are not refusing to build because you can't move forward, because you're not sure. And you just have to go. You have to move. Let me read you this passage, and then we'll end. Ephesians 3 says this: I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he's talking about God, he says, God will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his, help me out, home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will go down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so too great to fully understand. Man, I think that for some of us, if you believe this, if you believe that God is for you and that God is asking you that regardless of where you are, I need you to build, I think you can figure out what your next step. What is your next step? You know, Psalms 27 says, unless the Lord kind of builds a house, we work in vain. And I love our response time. Like, our response time, for those of you who don't know, and if you're in Metro, this is your first time here or on this campus, you know, we end with a song and we have these stations. We have these, the cross, you can light a candle, you can receive communion, go and take communion by yourself. And we sing a song, and it's a moment where we really want you to respond. That's why we call it response time, because you could just sit there, or you could just do something. I think today is something you need to do. Maybe it's not go to the cross. Maybe it is. You go to the cross, and you put down the one thing that you're going to leave. You're going to leave maybe unmet expectations. You're going to leave disappointment. You're going to leave, you know, certainty. Others of you, maybe the hope of like really moving from disappointment is this hope in this relationship. And you need to go light a candle. We light candles to pray for people and people in our lives, maybe who don't, that need our prayers. So who is it? I don't know. Maybe it's a relationship you need to build on. The communion is always great for us to just kind of step into and go realize, hey, once again, that God's love for us is great and his purposes are great in our lives. And he has chosen to put his Spirit in us. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for us. And so in both campuses, we're going to sing the same song. If you're watching on live stream or you can be a part of this too. We're going to sing a song called Holy Spirit. It's about the Holy Spirit. It's about just really getting into a moment where you allow God to do whatever he wants to do in your life. And so the posture, in one sense, needs to be, God, you know I don't want to be in this place, or you know I really like it here, but I'm willing. I'm willing. Do something in me that only you could do. Build something in me, create something in me that gives me the power to create around me. So let me pray for us. Lord God, we just thank you so much for who you are. God, I thank you that you have made us and created us new in your presence, in your relationship. And you have these plans for us. You have these this hope for us that we have to step into. God, I pray for some here this morning who have just been stuck because of grief and sorrow and just a funk. It's just a deep sadness of realizing this is not where they wanted to be. They feel like they've been exiled. They feel like they've been let down. And Father, I pray that as your presence is very real, and it doesn't matter where we are, we could be anywhere. Someone watching this in another part of the world, we know that you inhabit all that is created. And so, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, do a work in us that is a breakthrough work. Breakthrough in some of us so we can build again. We can build again. God, do a work that only you can do. Help us respond in ways. God, I pray that this would be a conversation that would lead to really a turning point in our lives, in our families, in our careers, in our quality of life, in our joy. God, we love you. And we just thank you. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.